All right, so good evening, everybody. We're doing our Bible study today. So I'll be going through this bits and pieces for another 35 or so minutes. And today we're carrying on from where we stopped last time. We're looking at Matthew chapter 13 and we're looking at verses 18 to 23. And basically we've looked at Jesus talking about the parables. We probably spent close to 8 or so weeks looking at the parable of the sower that Jesus was talking about. And we spent quite a lot of time looking at that parable. So what we're doing today is we're looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. This is where Jesus himself gives an explanation of the parable of the sower. So that's what we're going to be focusing on today. So we'll look at that. We'll look at the summary of the parable of the sower. And again, what we're also going to do is we'll see how it applies to us so we can, you know, learn from this as well. And, you know, well, learn from it and be able to apply these teachings to our lives. Okay, so I'm going to start now. And if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. So I'm going to be reading the NIV version, but whatever version you've got is fine. You can just follow me. Listen. So Matthew 13, 18 to 23. It says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, and it says the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown among the path. It says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. It says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, who understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So we begin to see here Jesus himself explaining the four types of soil in this parable of the sower. If we reflect back to the very first session that we had, we went through the perspective of the farmer. We went through the perspective of the seed, which is the word of God. And just looking at the farmer, the seed, and the soil, putting everything together in terms of what this all really means. And I remember I described, well, I made a couple of comments that nowadays we don't have people with seeds, bags full of seed, physically just going around chucking seed around. Now, what we have is combine harvesters, and you can have the guy who is the farmer, you know, drinking cappuccino in his air-conditioned combine harvester that can harvest tons and tons and tons of soil. But in those days, it wasn't like that. It was a very, very manual process. So Jesus was describing that, the context of that for us as well in those days. So today we look at the four types of soil, the summary that Jesus gave us. And like I mentioned earlier, we'll look at the applications as well to our lives. So Jesus identifies four types of soil here. The first one is the wayside soil, which is referred to as the path. The second one is the rocky type of soil. The second one is the rocky type of soil. The third one is the thorny soil, and the fourth one is the good soil that Jesus mentioned. Now, one thing that we identified at the beginning is that there is never a problem with the seed that is sown in the ground. And in this context, we're looking at the word of God. So the word of God is powerful. It is independent of anything around it. So it is perfect. So if there are issues at all with regards to bringing crop, it's definitely with the ground or with the soil type. And in terms of the word of God being, you know, independent of all these things, being not being the challenge, so to speak, if one is not bearing fruit. If you look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and sharper than any two-edged sword. So I'll stop there for Hebrews chapter 4. So what this is saying is that the word of God on its own is powerful. It is, the Bible refers to it as incorruptible. So it's never the problem. The problem is never with the word of God. The challenge is with the soil. So when we say soil here, what are we talking about? That when we say the four types of soil, the four different types of soil, what does that mean to us? How does that relate to us? Well, I would describe these different scenarios representing how we respond to, how we accept and how we value the word of God in different areas of our lives. I think one point I made is that you don't have an individual that is a rocky individual or an individual that is stony. No, these types of soils that Jesus is using here, they're analogies that apply to every single one of us. So what does that mean? That means that in certain areas of your life, you might be more responsive to the word of God. In another area of your life, you might not be that responsive to the word of God. So this isn't saying that there's an individual who is rocky, there's an individual who is thorny, or there's an individual who has good soil. No, it's referring to different areas of our life. So what that means is that these four soil types or responses to the word of God are present in each of our lives. So what Jesus wants us to do, or where he wants us to get to, is where in every area of our lives, we have good soil all around. So we look at the summary of the soils today. I'll look at the path or the wayside soil. I'll look at the rocky one. I'll look at the thorny one and the good soil. Just to recap this Matthew chapter 13 that we've just read. So I'll start with the first one, which is the pathway soil. And I'll read again Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 to give us context. And it says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, it says the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. So Jesus says the first one is the wayside soil, the soil that's on the pathway. Very, very patchy, soil. Nothing, you know, just kind of like the one on the foot, on the footpath when you're walking, probably along the road, you're going into the woods or something. So it's like, it's not a good place for things to grow, so to speak. Jesus makes an interesting comment here about this description. He says, this represents a scenario where someone hears the word of God preached and they don't understand it. It's like, what does this really mean? And because they don't understand the word of God at that point, something happens. He says the devil comes and snatches away what they've heard. So Jesus explains here that when we hear the word of God and we don't understand it, there is the danger that we lose that word of God. And the devil comes and he uses different things to snatch that word of God from us. The devil doesn't appear physically to you and I to say, okay, surrender that word of God that you just heard. No, he uses different things. It might be psychology. It might be, the whispering in your mind saying, how can you believe that Bible verse, Bible passage? It has nothing to do with you. I mean, how can someone believe in God and say, God will provide for me? You better, you know, sit up and, you know, get to work and try and make things happen. How can you be quoting to me Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34 that says, seek first the kingdom and God will provide for you? How can you be telling me that? So if one doesn't really understand the word, those are the kind of things that the devil begins to tell people. And they just say, you know, I'm not quite sure this thing is real anyway. And they throw that word away. That is how the devil comes to snatch the words that have been sown in people's hearts. So that happens with the the path or the wayside soil. For the second type of soil here, we see it's the rocky ground, the Bible calls it. And I'll read Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 and 21 to give us context again. And there he says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he doesn't have much root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So we see a situation here where Jesus is saying this rocky ground or this rocky type of soil represents someone that they hear a word or we hear a word and we're really excited about it. It's like, yeah, you know, and you're saying, preach on, pastor, and you're really, really, really excited. However, when certain things begin to happen in your life or in my life, we just throw that word away. There's an example. I remember there was once I was preaching at the church when we met physically. This was a couple of years ago. And I remember that Sunday, I was like, look, God provides for us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I was quoting 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Quoted all those really nice scriptures. And I think everybody was like quite excited. And I was saying, look, God is our source. He's the one that provides for us. And I probably quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8 saying, look, your job is not your source. If anything happens to your job or whatever, what you have to do is just pray to God and say, God, okay, I don't have a job now. What next? Are you going to give me another job somewhere? Just bringing out the fact that God is our source, as Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 said. So I was all pumped up. And I went to work on the Monday. I was in a contract job then. And this contract job that I had there, when I got there, they told me, oh, we absolutely love your work. You're going to be here forever. The people who come here usually are here for years on end. And they're like, that chap has been here for years. I mean, we love you. Now, this was just 3 months down the line. And I got into the office and my boss just called me and said, can I just have a moment? I said, yeah, you can. And she sat down with me and said, I'm really sorry, but they've cut the budget and your contract has to end in, I don't know if it was a week or two. And when she told me that, obviously I put a brave, straight face on. I said, okay, no problem. These things happen, not a problem. I'll just, you know, round up what I've been doing. And she left and I went back to my desk. Now, what happened to me now, then? Suddenly, what came to my mind was, my goodness, I have to pay my mortgage. I have to, I think we actually had booked a holiday to go to Rome or somewhere. Man, I'm like, we've spent our money on this holiday. Do I cancel the holiday and we just, you know, hoard our cash because I don't know when next I'm going to get a job? All these thoughts came to my mind. Then suddenly, I had a still small voice in my mind saying, Oh, Pastor Benson, hi, how are you doing? Remember Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33? I believe you preached it at the church on Sunday about God providing, and it just came back to my mind. So at that point, I had the opportunity to just say, you know, God, I have to act really quick in this one. And I start panicking. I'm like, oh man, I need to start, you know. But God reminded me of what I had said. Now, because I had really not taken any credit for myself or saying, oh, I'm a man of faith or and all that. No, I'm not saying that. That's not the point I'm making. But the point was that while I preached that message, I actually really, really had, you know, taken it to heart. Now, if this was me, would I really believe it? So I really pressed down that word in my heart. So what I'm saying is that the rocky ground says when persecution comes, John chapter 16, verse 33 says that when we're faced with challenges, one or two things can happen. One, it might be that in that area of our lives, the ground is rocky and we panic and we just really lose hope in that area. Jesus says, if you experience that in a particular part of your life, then that means that word didn't really get the chance to take root. So it's rocky. But there's good news. The good news is that Jesus doesn't just give us these parables to expose areas that we're weak. No, he tells us these things so that we can know that, okay, be honest, I'm struggling in this area. I need to work on this area with God. So he exposes these areas of our lives, not so that we can feel bad. No, it's so that you're honest with yourself. I'm honest with myself, and we can really work on those areas. Do you understand? So that's what happened to me. And needless to say, we went on that holiday. It was a nice one. We saw the Colosseum and all that in Rome. And while we're there, I still didn't have a job, you know, on holiday, spending all that money on ice cream and all those things. But what I'm saying is that Jesus has spoken his word to us, and his word actually is real. So just saying that there's the opportunity when one is facing a situation to just panic, that means in that area, one's life is a bit, one's response to the word of God is rocky. And it's just to help us to know we need to work on that area. And we'll look at a number of things that we can do to bring us out of all this rockiness, where to the point where we're really strengthened in God and where we're encouraged. Now, the third kind of soil that Jesus mentions here is a thorny kind of soil, the thorny kind of heart. And I'll read there, and that's in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. And it says that the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. And I can tell you, this one, we're all guilty of it, because it happens to every single one of us. Obviously, it might not happen to you if you're still really young and you're not the one paying the bills. This probably doesn't apply to you. But I can tell you, when you start paying those bills, this is something that you have to deal with. This is something that we deal with. This is something I deal with. And Jesus makes an interesting explanation of the thorny heart. And using this analogy, he says that this is the heart that receives the seed. And as that seed begins to grow, it is choked by thorns. I don't know if you guys are into horticulture or planting? I think it's horticulture or agriculture. One of those things, the ones that really deal with like plants and weeds and stuff. But one thing I can tell you is that weeds don't need any fertilizer. They don't need you to plant them in there. You just get to your garden, you've planted your roses and all these things, and suddenly it's like, where did that thing come from? And what they do is that they struggle with the actual, really, they struggle with the plants that you plant, and they choke them out. It's like, you know, we're here, there's limited space here, there's limited water. So it's like, we're the big boys. The weeds will say, we're the big boys. We're going to ensure that you, Mr. Plants, that you fancy rose, shining all red and blue and all that, we're here, we're the weed guys, and we're going to choke you. We're going to make sure that we eat all the food in the soil. We're going to make sure that we get all the water. So that's what weed do. They choke all the other plants, take all the water. They don't share at all. So Jesus was using this analogy to say that this seed, this type of soil, has thorns in it. And those thorns are there, and they just choke out the seed that you plant in there. And he says, what do these things represent in our lives, these thorns in our lives? Well, he put it out there expressly, very clearly. And he refers to thorns as the everyday things of life. The legitimate things of life. You wake up, you have to go to the office. You wake up, you have to go to work. You're thinking, how am I going to eat? How am I going to do this? So it's the daily things that we do. But Jesus is saying something here. He's not saying we shouldn't be diligent. He's not saying we shouldn't be hardworking. He's not saying we shouldn't be responsible. Obviously, you should think, okay, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to do this? Yeah, as responsible people, we should think about that. But what he begins to say is that when those things become a priority in our lives, they can get to the place where they choke out the word of God, where you wake up in the morning and by the time it's evening, you can't even, your mind has not even gone to the Bible at all. Why? Because you're busy. Now, you're just so tired. And one day to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And you open the Bible sometimes. I'm like, what did Pastor Benson really say last week? Was he talking about potatoes or was he talking about cucumber? I think so tired. And, you know, you and I just don't have the time. Life sucks out the energy. Life sucks out all the time we have. And what we remember is that we're awake in the morning and we are asleep in the evening. If you have kids, your kids are jumping all over the place. Hey, stop going there. Stop. And you're worn out. But we can focus on them to the detriment of the word of God in our lives. That's what he said in the thorny one. Now, the last one which he mentioned here is the good soil. And that's where we will all want to be. If I were in America now and we were in church, this is where I would ask the piano player to start giving me like some proper piano beats. So I will have, you know, spoken about the thorny ground. I'll have spoken about the rocky ground, the wayside one. Now we're getting to like the crescendo here, the fourth one, the good soil. And at this point, I'll be saying, you know, give me the music. I'll be doing my little American dance. I'll be like, oh yeah, it's time. Now you can be good soil. But obviously I don't do that because we're Brits here. But just kidding about that. Jesus now refers to the good soil. What does that mean? I'll read Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. It says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it, and the same produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So Jesus was saying, look, this is where he wants us to be. He wants us in every area of our lives to embrace the word of God, even if we don't really understand it, to embrace it all the same. And apart from that, he wants us to really focus on understanding the word of God, reading the word of God so that it takes root in our heart, thinking about the word of God so that when we face persecution, when things happen in our lives that are all that come suddenly, we don't panic and throw the word of God out of the window. God wants us to come to a place where we really, really think about the word of God so it bears root in our heart. And the third thing is that even though we have really, really legitimate things that we do on a daily basis, also God doesn't want us to do all those things to the neglect of his word. And he says he wants us to have this good soil. Now, you might be wondering, what is good soil? What are the benefits of good soil? What does it really mean in the context of my life? I think I went through that in a lot of detail the last time, but just a number of points to note here. So the first thing is Jesus wants us to be like him. So the more of God that we know, the more we allow the word to take root in our lives, the more and more we become like Jesus. And here it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, it says, for those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So God wants us to become more and more like Christ. And the way this happens is as we look at the word of God, we read the Bible, we listen to preaching like this and take it to heart. And something begins to happen to us supernaturally and automatically. We begin to change. The word of God begins to change you and I so that we become more and more like Christ. Now, another thing as well, that the word of God does for us, which is like particularly needed now. When we allow the word of God to like really take root in our hearts, Psalm 16 verse 11 says here that you will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We begin to experience supernatural joy from God so that irrespective of what's happening around, you know, bad news here, bad news there, as we focus on the word of God and it brings fruit in our lives, one of the fruit that we get is we experience the supernatural joy of God so that irrespective of what is going on around us, we're not touched. It's like we're living in a bubble. God wants us to experience that joy as well as part of our walk with him as Christians. Now, the third thing is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that as we allow the word of God to work in us, we begin to experience the power of God. Now, what does that mean? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'll read it. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who has loved me and given himself for me. So what that means is that we begin to, well, as we study the word of God and we let it take root in our lives, something happens. We begin to live a supernatural life where God is the one that now works in us. And we no longer will, we won't be in a place where we're struggling to be like Christians or we're struggling to understand things about God. God works in us, but this comes as we allow the word of God to bear fruit in us. Two more things. The other thing as well is, you know, from the word of God that represents fruit in our lives is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forevermore. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 tells us as a fourth point that we also grow in the knowledge of God and in the grace of God. Now, the grace of God is in the supernatural ability to do things that normally you wouldn't be able to do. God empowers you. He gives you strength in a lot of areas as you and I begin to, you know, really focus on the word of God. And lastly, the fifth thing that we see as fruit in our lives, which God wants us to do is, or which God wants us to have, is to experience victory over the devil all the time. Now, we understand that Jesus Christ has already defeated the devil on our behalf. Now, what does that mean? What that means is, as we read the word of God, as we embrace the word of God, the things that, you know, terrify people, the thing that the devil does to terrify people, those things will not affect us because the word of God is in our hearts. Then another part is Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It says, for sin will not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So looking at this, the fifth thing about having, living a victorious life over the devil and over sin. I mentioned initially, you know, looking at this, that the things that the devil uses to terrify people out there, as we study the word of God, those things will not terrify us. Now, I read Romans chapter 6, verse 14, that sin will not have dominion over us. Now, there are times that someone might be struggling with a particular type of thing that they don't like. For example, you know, they're Christians, but they just do things that they're just not happy with. And it seems like they just can't get away from those things. It's like they cry and they go, I don't want to do this. God, forgive me. And they do it the next day. They say, oh, I didn't really want to do this. And they do it the next day. Now, what's the solution to that? The solution to that is this. You and I just need to take the word of God and begin to read and to think about the word of God, to meditate on it. And as we do that and avoid those things that we don't like doing, God begins to release power through the word. And those things will gradually remove the desire, gradually remove the urge to participate in those things that we are not happy to be involved in. So how does that work? Looking at the word, studying the word, and the word releases the power in your life, in my life, and suddenly we're out of those things. All right, so tonight I'm just going to end there. So we've looked at the description of the parable of the sower from Christ himself. We looked at the four different types of soil. We've said God wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to be like the good soil so that we can enjoy this Christian life. And I know that God will help us. And I believe that God will ignite the word of God in each and every one of us. And we will see fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. Let me pray with us.